It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And you sound a little dull.
My mic is not on.
Yeah, just a second here. Got a couple of things going on with controls today. Try again?
Nope, not on.
Still nothing? Want to make him heard, you know.
Sorry.
He bothered to get up early. Anyway, we'll get that worked out. And along the way, we'll welcome everybody to another live episode. We're here in the studio, as usual. And we've come off of another good week, which always is a fun way to open up a show.
It is. Yeah, there I am. Yeah.
And Adam has now joined us. Wait, there's one silly mic in here that has a kind of a lot of opinions. Inanimate objects should not have opinions.
Yeah, and technology is always great when it works.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Not all of it fun. The market part's fun, but what's happened to Florida with our friends and neighbors over the past couple of weeks is just beyond mind-boggling. And we're going to spend a little time talking about what you can do to help and what you can do to help yourself, because nobody's going to take care of you, let's face it. So we got to handle a few items like that now that the season is waning. You know, nobody can say it's over yet because it isn't over yet, but I think we can say we're over the hump. And now's the time you start planning, because it's fresh in your mind, and you don't want to go a few months and not think about this, only to find out that the season's coming again and I haven't done anything.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to believe that the water's warm enough to generate storms like this right now. But I guess down in that Gulf of Mexico it is. But I was checking the surf this morning, and people were wearing shorty wetsuits. So it's definitely not warm enough on this side.
Nope. When you look at it, you know, there's kind of one way in and one way out there, where you don't get the benefit of the tropical flows coming up all the way through from south to north. And what are the jet streams are for air?
The Gulf Stream?
Gulf Stream, yeah. So that's like a big bathtub this time of year, and boy, did it. It didn't play ball with people the way we want it. But like I said, got to figure out how to help and how to prevent it from knocking you down. There are too many stories I've heard where people lost everything. And we'll get to that when we come to it. Meanwhile, let's start out on a happier note by saying that it was a really nice week in the market, with a really nice ending where we set a couple of records Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I really didn't expect that either.
I didn't either.
I was kind of surprised to see it, and the futures didn't expect it on Friday morning either. But mm-mm. It wasn't down big or anything, but it was down, and it just looked like kind of a flat, normal day. But throughout the day, it just kept building and building, and really strong finish. All three indexes ended the week up over 1%, and now all three are up for the quarter as well. For the year, NASDAQ is leading the way higher with the even with the struggles of the big seven tech stocks, but the NASDAQ has gains of 22.2%, and the S&P is up 21.9%, so just behind it. The Dow is kind of lagging, but it's still up 13.7%. Actually, pretty remarkable how much this mirrors all of last year, except that the NASDAQ, which was up 43.4% last year. So that one's not quite there. But the other two are right about where they ended last year. So it back-to-back great years, I will take that anytime.
Anytime at all.
Well, our Federal Reserve cut rates by 50 basis points last month. Inflation data this week had investors wondering if it was too much too soon. The CPI was released on Thursday, and it came in hotter than expected. Core prices rose 0.3% last month versus an expectation of 0.2%. Core CPI is now running at 2.1% annualized, which is the fastest rate since April of 2023. One bit of good news in the report was that rent CPI is down to 3.8%. That still sounds high, which it is, but you have to consider that in 2022, it was around 10%. So,
yeah. And it's still a lagging indicator.
Yeah.
It takes a whole year to shape up that's the right. way it's going to be.
And the trend is heading even lower. So if the current trend holds, it'll be back down to normal levels of increase. I don't think it's going to decrease. I just don't see the right market conditions for that, but you never know. It wasn't a horrible CPI report, but I do think it added more fuel to the argument that the Fed won't cut rates at the next meeting. I can't say for sure. They don't consult me on these decisions, but
that is their own fault.
Yeah. The only way that I see that changing is if the jobs numbers really start to crater, which, as we saw last week, has not happened, whether real or made up. They're just not cratering. We did see jobless claims spike to 258,000 versus the 230,000 that were estimated for this week. But a lot of that was due to the hurricanes, and we saw a bunch of the states that were most affected had the biggest jump in first-time jobless claims. So
as of right now, I'd call it a one-off.
Yeah.
We'll find out next week and the week after.
Well, I think you're still going to see some hurricane data there, obviously, with what happened this week.
Think of the businesses that are shut down.
Oh,
Just take one place like Asheville. How many people are out of work in Asheville?
And there's still massive power outages in Florida as we're talking right now. So
yeah, still a couple million people.
So I'm not going to get too concerned, because that magic number is 250,000. And that's when they go over that, which this report was, you start to get a little bit of not panic, but like, that's, you know, that can be a sign of a recession. Really not going to worry about this one report. And I wouldn't worry about two more in a row after these hurricanes. But if it doesn't come down after that, I would start to be a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
Yep. Earnings season is, I don't know if it's officially underway, but we've definitely seen some of it so far. And there were some ups and some downs, I would say. Pepsi was a really bad report.
Yeah.
It was not a good quarter for them. They slightly beat on earnings but missed on revenues. Delta reported an earnings and revenue miss and lowered their guidance. So that was interesting, that you would think that in a booming economy that airlines would be doing really well, and they have. But this report did not look as good for Delta. So that's interesting. We saw some positive news out of the banking sector, though. Both BNY Mellon and JP Morgan came in with earnings and revenue beats. So that was positive news. Then we saw BlackRock, a really strong quarter. They had more money flow into their funds than expected, and this resulted in both an earnings and revenue beats. So it's still early in the season, but there are almost 30 companies reporting next week, including Schwab, J&J, Goldman Sachs, CSX, and Netflix. So we'll really get some good data next week.
It's seemingly always a pretty bad idea to bet against JP Morgan.
They've had 8 beats in a row, I think I read this morning. So that's pretty solid.
You've all heard me say this anyway, so I'm not going to hide it. I don't like them. And I don't like BlackRock either.
Yeah.
But if I owned the stock, I'd be hanging on to it for JP Morgan anyway. So lots more to come right after the break. Trivia question and the whole thing. So we'll pay a few bills for a while and fix a little electronics. Be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we probably could wrap up just a little bit more about what happened in the market. I don't mind doing that, because it was really fun this week, I thought.
It was. It was a good week. We saw some ups and downs, but the Friday rally really put a nice cap on what was a otherwise sort of uneventful week.
I'd rather start slow and end fast, and that's what has been happening lately.
Yeah, that's true. There is one area that is a little bit concerning to me, and it was a concern last week as well, and it didn't get resolved this week, and that is bullish sentiment. It's at 49% versus 21% that are bearish. Yeah. Those are numbers I like to see reversed, because that's when the market does well. One interesting note about that, though, is that Schwab also has an investor sentiment tool based on the trading of the by their retail customers. Mm-hmm. And this tool shows a much more subdued sentiment than the AAII investor survey that we always talk about in reference. That's where those 49%, 21% numbers come from. Mm-hmm. And so that's a survey of investors. This Schwab tool looks at what is actually happening with their clients on the retail side.
Yep.
And this tool shows that investor sentiment might be slightly negative rather than overwhelmingly positive.
And that, for those of you who haven't been regulars on the show, we don't want it real positive.
No, it's a contrarian.
They're always wrong when they get too aggressive.
Yep, contrarian indicator. So, so it's interesting that there's a huge gap between those two. Which one's right? I don't know.
Well, with an upcoming election and people having various and sundry thoughts about that whole thing, I picked out a trivia question for this week that has something to do with that. So, as usual, it's sponsored by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. If you invested $10,000 in the broad market in 1988 and you left it in during Republican administrations, and if you took it out during Democrat administrations, you would currently have about $15,700. If you ignore politics and hold it from 1988 to today, what would that $10,000 be worth today? And I'll take it within a pretty wide range of way more than $10,000 plus or minus. So you might have gathered from that little clue, it's not bad.
It's a big number.
It's a big number.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good lesson there too.
Yeah. It's probably the most important lesson of investing overall, is that you can try. You can guess, and you will miss.
Speaking of which, I think I have a perfect segue from that.
Good.
China has been, the stock market has been on a run in China recently. I don't know if you've
like 24% in a few days.
The actual market in China has done quite well, but there was a 6-day market holiday recently around their, it's called their Golden Week holiday. So the markets were closed. There was no actual trading, but you could still buy Chinese company ET or Chinese holding ETFs in the U.S. But they were, but it's when they couldn't actually buy the shares for you until after that, until the Chinese market reopened. So, ASHR is a very popular ETF that tracks Chinese companies. It actually lost 12.7% this week. How is that possible? Well, so much money flowed into ASHR that when on Tuesday, when the Chinese markets reopened, that ETF was up 24%. But the markets rose on Tuesday in China, but they only rose 5.9%. That caused a 14.3% drop in ASHR and a 6.3% drop the following day. So you actually, if you bought in during the 6 days where they were closed, if you bought in like Monday night, you probably lost on that trade.
Yep.
Even though the Chinese market was up.
Yep.
And that is significant because about $2.3 billion has flowed into that ETF in the last 3 weeks. And half of that actually happened on, I believe, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of this week. So that sometimes you have to be really careful with trading ETFs that have underlying holdings, especially if those holdings trade in foreign markets that aren't open.
That's why the New York Exchange has a rule of thumb that whenever this is possible, they do not like to close down for more than 3 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Too many bad things can happen with pent-up demand, both on the positive and the negative side. That was a classic example this week.
Yeah, you might have been very surprised to lose that amount of money on a ETF when the underlying securities are actually rising in value. That is not something that generally happens.
No, it's... what buyer beware, I guess.
Yeah. As far as the Chinese thing, I know the government's doing everything they can. I'm still not a big believer. I need to see some more fundamental changes in the country itself.
Yep, they're putting lipstick on that pig.
Yeah. I may move away from the excluding China in our emerging markets funds, which I have been doing, which has been a really good thing because China has dragged down most emerging markets funds over the last few years. I may start including them again, but it's outside of going to that, that's adding like a very small percentage exposure. Outside of that, I'm not buying China right now.
No, and I would not buy a Chinese index share or anything like that.
No, I just don't believe it.
Nope. Until they get over this stupidity of being socialistic, communistic, whatever, that's not good. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Do we have a trivia question? I'm sorry, I listened a little late this morning. I was busy doing something.
Yes. $10,000 invested in the broad market in 1988 is worth how much today if all you did was leave it alone?
Approximately 1988. Okay, 1998, 2024. Okay. Off the cranium, top of my intellect, I will say 275,000, but I'm probably too high.
Well, you're not right about either of those things.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That means you're too low to me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Pretty
and
interesting,
also, I have an aunt. Oh, you guys are the best of the best. Don't change. And I think you should have the one that you know what the answer is for tomorrow's stock and all this. I have an aunt that loves Chinese food. She's 92. She had 400,000 in what you just talked about when I tuned in on the Chinese whatnot thing. Ooh. And I told her, be very careful on your Chinese and Russian investments. And Japanese isn't too bad right now.
Right.
She says, well, yeah, I'm older than you. I'm wiser than you. She lost $400,000 this week. She has a massive portfolio, so it's like a drop in the bucket. But she's crying all the way to church tomorrow.
It hurts. I don't care how much money you got.
No doubt about it.
Lost like that hurts. By the way, Phil, I was listening to Angela, and I'm really sorry about your cousin.
I had a good yesterday, and I went down to the helicopter from St. Augustine Airport. My buddy owns one, and I had identified a body, and then he flew me back home. I went right to church, prayed for 2 hours.
Yeah.
The tornado just blew everything apart. And he didn't go. So, you know, he wasn't in the main area, but he had one of those 42 tornadoes ripped his neighborhood up. And he was the only one stayed home.
We've never seen a thing like that in Florida's known
history.
Where that many tornadoes broke out.
No, that was the most in one day.
History, yes. And we're not done with the hurricane season. No. I'll let you go. I'm sorry I got caught up in the moment. And I'll tell you what. I didn't tell Angela, but that $500 trust check comes up to the city rescue mission is in his name, and
oh, good.
I don't have to put it on there, but it's like you know, it's the least I can do, because he was good for the community. And today I'm going to go help out the local soup kitchen, and everybody that's really poor that I know of is going to get a Secret Santa $20 bill envelope with no name on it, and I just hand it to him. I say, put it in your gas tank or something. You know,
well,
got to give back.
That's good.
And
again, we're very sorry to hear it.
Yeah,
definitely. I know you're not alone. And there's so many Floridians that are hurting now.
Yeah, it's 42, and they're still counting bodies down there.
Yeah.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Sorry, I got caught up in the moment.
Dude. Not at all. Thank you. Yeah, that's, you know, when you survive a storm, and then the tornado that spins off gets you, it's your number was up.
You're not even
To be so fatalistic.
But you're not even thinking that anything like that could happen.
No. And
sad.
Like you said, the toll is rising. Imagine what it's going to be when they get North Carolina figured out.
Yeah, it's
going to
be awful.
So many people missing up there. And we will get on to talking about things that we should do about that, because it's very important. I do have a quick piece of actual news.
Wait, one more note on China.
Oh, sure.
So China, over the last 10 years, if you had invested in ASHR 10 years ago, today, including the recent run-up, which is, even despite that drop this week, it still had a pretty massive run-up, you would be up 58% in the last 10 years.
That's 5.8.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Straight line. It's pretty paltry for an
annualized, it's 4.7%.
Yeah, that's when you do the compound.
Pretty poor. But if you didn't have that run-up this week, you'd be at about half that. So maybe 2, 3%.
Wow.
Pretty abysmal.
Yeah, for darn sure. That's why there are separate kinds of risk in the market, and international risk is one kind of all its own. That's got an element of political and an element of capital and all those things in it. So just know that when you do, that's the reason why Adam has, for a long time with our clients' portfolios and ours, decided that when you're dealing with international exposure, it's often better to hire someone who is a full-time professional at that, and all that means is buying a mutual fund instead of an index share.
Something that's like actively that. Traded.
And our little international fund had a very, very bad quarter. It was only up about 0.25%, and that follows on the heels of 13% each for two consecutive quarters.
Yeah.
So how's this year? Real fine, thank you very much.
Not too bad.
Real fine. All right, we will get into some other things. I've got an actual piece of news. As I said, it takes a little more than the 10 seconds I've got to get it out there. So we'll just put it on hold till we have a short break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia question is still out there. If you invested $10,000 in the broad market here in 1988 and left it alone, in other words, you paid no attention to politics, you would have how much money today? And we know, thanks to Phil, that it is in excess of $275,000. And, you know, if that's all you got during that time, that'd be pretty good. But my point is, it isn't. It's actually higher. All right, news. Most of you know that the government fiscal year ends on September 30th. So shortly after September 30th every year, things start to come out about next year. Well, they just issued an actual data point that isn't a guess, because it was actually released by Social Security. The Social Security increase for next year is going to be 2.5%. And that number is now carved in stone, I gather. That's I almost said good news, and I almost didn't say good news. That's the actual news. What's happening with Medicare is probably going to take, for most of us, all of it away. Fortunately, there is a feature in Social Security and Medicare that says they cannot raise your personal Medicare cost by more than the increase you get in Social Security. So in other words, except if you pass through an IRMA bracket, which I'll explain in a second, you will receive the same amount of money in your Social Security check, assuming that you're affected by the Part D increase. And it's looking very much like that's going to eat the whole thing up. IRMA, a lot of you have heard us talk about this, the income-related monthly adjustment amounts. It's an income tax that you pay in the form of a higher premium for your Medicare B and your Medicare D. And that is very substantial over a certain amount of income. For most people, it doesn't make a whole bunch of difference. But if you have a good year, 2 years ago, because it's based on, like, the one coming up will be based on your 23 tax return. So if you had a really good year in 23, then you're going to wind up paying more in IRMA this year. And it's readjusted after you file your taxes every year for the following year. If you had an unusually good 23 and it changed dramatically, and they refer to it as a life-altering event, that means if you got divorced, or if your spouse died, if you quit work or unintentionally quit work or something along those lines, where it's going to be a very significant change in your lifestyle, i.e. income, then there are ways around it. And if you want to, if anybody's in that situation, just get a hold of us at the office at vanweefinancial.com, or you can call us to 904-685. What's our number?
It's 904-685-1505.
Yeah. And I don't call it very often.
No.
That was speed dial, too.
There you go.
Right after Sarah. Anyway, just so you know, that no matter how good your Medicare increase looks, it's probably going to amount to nothing. If you get anything positive, you're just lucky. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate. That's... because the cost of living, despite being the rate of increase has dropped, but it is still increasing, and it's increasing off an ever higher base. So each time you increase by a percentage, that percentage is actually more real dollars because the base is higher.
Yep. And you know what happens in the tax world is that if it triggers you to a new bracket, you might actually wind up losing out on some of that too. So it, you know, most of the things you buy are after tax. So if you get any bracket shifting done to you, then it's going to actually hurt your lifestyle quite a bit. So things to look at, and I have no cure for that. I can't think of what an individual could do about that, because you need to be covered for health insurance, and that's that. They charge you. They're the phone company, as they used to say on SNL. So that's a piece of actual news. You can take it for what it's worth, I guess. All right, there's a lot of other little goodies going on too, and one of them, alert listener named Tim, came up with, and he asked us a very intriguing question the other day. He said, "How did 50,000 dock workers strike the U.S. ports when there are only 25,000 dock workers at those very ports?" And I said, well, that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense, does it? So I looked it up, and it didn't take more than a minute to figure it out. Over the decades, the collective bargaining with the dock workers has amounted to a 62% wage increase now, but it has accumulated over time, and there have been some improvements in operations, but they negotiated that everybody who had a job got to keep it. So there are now 50,000 people supposedly employed at those same docks, but only 25,000 of them show up for work. The other 25 sit home and collect these royalties from the containers that have been negotiated in the past, and they're still getting them. So it's almost incomprehensibly stupid that people would negotiate contracts like this. But they did, and we're stuck with it, and now they don't want any more automation. I look at these things and I say, man, if I had some seniority there, or maybe if I didn't, would be better. I'd be all for automation. Just send me home and pay me. How's that for a deal? Huh? But anyway, that was the answer to the question, and it was a question that I had never thought of, never heard of. Couldn't have made up a system as bad as the one we've got, and that's the truth. So now you know.
Yep.
50,000 people out of work out of a possible 25. Wow.
What do you think the common way to become a millionaire is in the United States?
To make $1 million and not pay taxes.
No. That's kind of. Now that I think about it.
Old Steve Martin line.
Yeah. It's crypto investing. No, I'm just kidding. It's not crypto investing. It is not buying a piece of property and flipping it. It is not
crypto
any of
stealing?
Those things. It is actually the good old-fashioned, most boring route ever. It is contributing monthly to your 401k. And Fidelity hit the accounts at Fidelity saw a record number of 401k billionaires this past month. There's now, just at Fidelity, 500,000 of them. Mm-hmm. And most of them got their one paycheck at a time. Mm-hmm. And that, if that doesn't illustrate what the power of long-term, steady, just stay the course investing does for you, I don't know what else does. Because that's an incredible amount. Just that one company, 500,000. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I use my sister as an example. My sister was a union worker for the phone company in Madison. And she never made money to speak of. But she did exactly what you're talking about. And she never became a millionaire or anything like that. But she over halfway home.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, if she had just continued what she was doing, she absolutely would have been.
If she had lived another 5 years, it probably would have been. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she died way too young. But I asked her when I first saw her account. I said, "How in the hell did you come up with that much money?" And she said, $1 at a time. That's exactly and I thought right. that was the best answer ever because she was exactly right.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't do stupid things, just kept putting it in.
This is also why it really, really bothers me when you see politicians talking about making millionaires pay their fair share. Oh. Well, let me tell you, millionaires are not rich. If you have $1 million saved, you probably got there over a 40-year career.
Yep.
And that $1 million then is able to pay you about 40 grand a year in retirement. Yeah. That's not a lavish lifestyle.
Yeah. And who can even define what a millionaire is? All these idiots that talk about that fair share stuff.
That's right.
Is that a guy with $1 million income? Is it a person whose net worth is $1 million? Does it count your house? There's so many questions, and they won't answer them.
No, definitely never not. Answer them. But yeah, being a millionaire is not what it used to be. I mean, it's really
saying that for quite a while.
Yeah, for sure. And after this recent bout of inflation or dollar devaluation, it's not even close to what it was 5 years ago to be a millionaire.
I'm trying to conjure up a name from the past. Back around 1995, I picked up a book. Oh, it was before that, back in 85, I think. I think we were still in Wisconsin. And it's Andy something, I can't remember. But it's called The Only Investment Guide You'll Ever Need.
I remember the book. I don't know the author.
He has since done, he has updated the book, The Only Other Investment Guide You'll Ever Need, or something like that, many, many years later.
There are at least
The one that, in the original one, it starts out, what is a millionaire? Let's be reasonable. A millionaire is a guy with $4 million in cash. That was 40 years ago.
Okay.
Now, I don't know all the things that aren't a good definition of a millionaire, but that's a darn fine definition of a millionaire in my book.
That, even today, might be a wealthy person.
Yeah. So, you could probably handle that part. Anyway, that point is so well made, and it just bugs the heck out of me when I hear terms like their fair share.
Yeah.
Corporations pay their fair share. Millionaires and billionaires. Like there's a pool of people called millionaires and billionaires. That's two different pools.
Yeah, very different pools.
Big time different. All right, lots more to come right after the last break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. $10,000 put into the broad market in 1988 in this country would be worth how much today if it were just left alone?
And we know it's more than $275,000.
We do that, yes. All right. We're talking a lot about taxes lately. It's starting to shape up to be planning time for taxes. And there's a certain amount of planning that you want to do that says A or B. And that is based on the election. So the reason I'm bringing up this whole, and you just leave it alone, is not for your investments, it's for your income. There is a difference between Plan A and Plan B, meaning the Republican ticket and the Democrat ticket, as far as your income goes. Mm-hmm. It's not a good enough reason to just sell out of the market completely. You can do some tactical things inside that, but that's not really what we're getting at. Oh, we got a phone call, and we'll get back to that after we talk to. Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
Thank you. I wanted to publicly thank Phil for reminding us. We have been truly blessed.
Yep.
In our area.
We have.
And others have been truly devastated.
Yep.
And we can't forget that. $400,000.
You know, that is just a little too low that you missed the bracket a little, but you're sneaking up on it.
Let me ask y'all this question. Of course, my world, I pay very close attention to the weekly 10-year Treasury average.
Sure,
yeah.
And that was a 20 basis point jump this week, which is a big jump.
That is a big jump.
It is.
Are we seeing maybe a little window for those of us who didn't get into intermediate bonds to take a shot with them, or did they not follow that?
So I believe that if you're holding, if you're talking about buying into an intermediate bond fund, it's, I don't think it's a bad time to be in that at all. I think you could get in today. I think if you were already in it, it's probably done well for you. But if you were to, I would buy today. Yeah. I've been buying lots of bond funds that are all different durations, and they've all done quite well this year. Now, they're down a little bit in the last few weeks, but the previous month or two was really, was, they're up way more than they've dropped in this last week or two.
Yeah, I think you're making a very cogent argument for how to handle the interest rate environment, in that I don't see it rising much from where it is now.
I don't either.
Over the next year or two, I would expect some dramatic drops. And for those of you who follow these things, that means your bond funds will be very good to you over that time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, gentlemen, thank you so much for every Saturday morning getting my day moving properly.
Always fun, Marshall. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Lane, long time no here. Oh, wait, no, it's only been a few hours. How you been?
It's been a while, but I was yakking with the station there, getting the call in. What did Marshall guess?
He guessed 400,000.
And it was low.
Too low, yep.
Yeah. Well, having been a recipient, I'm going to throw out $1 million because it certainly benefited me through my life.
Well, that is too high. So, unfortunately, it's not an unlimited thing. It's a darn good thing, but not a, not unlimited. So,
yeah. And that leads me to say, you guys are dancing around it, but you're not touching it. You need a five-minute segment on compounding because, think about it, we talked about the inflation rate. And like Adam pointed out, you know, well, the rate of increase may be slowing, but you're really working with a higher basis each time. Yep, I mean, that's compounding at its worst.
Yep.
And then investing in your 401k, I mean, it's unbelievable how that has benefited us through our lives, just simply, you know, putting that money away and keeping our hands off of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Buy and hold.
And the other thing, as you all know, the reason people need to sign up with you all is I'm an emotional investor. You get into this politics stuff.
You and everybody and else, Lane.
Yep. You wouldn't believe what we hear. Well, you would. You'd believe it. You're involved.
But I made a foolish mistake one time and charted the spending habits of the various political parties. Spending your tax dollars on, Steve likes to say, stupid things, is an addiction of both parties. If there's any Republican politicians or would-be politicians out there, just know that once you drink the Kool-Aid, you're as bad as anybody.
Yeah, you know,
That's embarrassing.
You know, the oldest expression of a politician, I want to go to Washington to change Washington. And after a few weeks in Washington, what comes back changed is not Washington.
That's right.
It's the politician.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, that was my comments.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Okay. Thanks.
Y'all take care.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Too.
Bye. Yeah. In fact, if you just look at the pure numbers, excuse me, if you held that money only with Democrats and not with Republicans, it would be a much higher return. But that is absolutely dwarfed by the answer to this question, which you all know pretty soon. Anyway, we had something we wanted to wrap up, didn't we? Or should I go on?
Go on.
I can't remember. We're talking about Plan A and Plan B for the election and your tax planning. The biggest single thing that faces everybody who can hear my voice right now is whether or not the TCJA, the Trump tax cuts, whether those are allowed to expire next year, December, or if they're made permanent. Mm-hmm. There is not a taxpayer out there who is not affected. There are a tiny little subset of those who would do better. because they would change the 10,000 salt deduction limit.
You have to live in a high-tax state, so most people listening to this, actually all the people listening to this broadcast, are not going to be in that situation.
No, no. So let's just say that we'll allow for a possible exception, but if you can hear us today, you will be far better off if the Republican is able to get in and demand that those rates be made permanent.
And even if the Republican wins the White House, that is not a guarantee that those will get extended. Now, we certainly hope they get extended, but that is not a guarantee. But it is a guarantee that if Kamala wins, that those will expire.
They will. She'll veto it.
Yeah, just absolutely.
Like, and she won't be overridden.
No.
I don't care if we get the majority in the House and the Senate.
That doesn't matter. We just would not be able to extend the tax cut. And regardless of what the politicians say, that only benefited billionaires and millionaires, that is so false. It really benefited everyone who has a job or an income.
And I don't like all the – I hate the term misinformation now, too, because they've ruined that.
Yeah.
They've ruined everything. But that is pure misinformation. And,
we could sit down with a piece of paper and show you why. It's absolutely so simple. If you actually had any journalist out there who was worth a darn, you could prove it with beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's so easy.
All right, here's another one for your longer term planning, your estate planning. If Harris gets in, this is her proposal for your estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for this? By the way, this is in the name of equity.
Right.
Another terrible term. We used to say equity in a meant stock. Now it means something totally bad. All right, so this would lower the exemption to $3.5 million, which is now about $13.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it would increase the tax rate on the lowest level after the exemption from 40 to 55, and then estates that are above $13 million would be 60% of anything above the $13 million. And if it's above $93 million, it's 65% on the remaining value above 93. So two-thirds of what you've accumulated in your life and paid taxes on.
Just give it away to the government.
Yeah.
Just give it away. Yeah. What did they do to earn it? Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Because it's your fair share. Right. How about a corporate income tax that Trump fought very hard and won at 21%, which makes us very competitive? Trump now wants it down to 15%, which would make us even more competitive. Harris wants it at 28%.
But this is so stupid. And here's why. Because corporations don't pay income taxes.
Correct.
They do on their profits, but guess what happens then? Yeah. They raise your prices to cover that. They want to keep their margins the same. They want to keep their earnings the same. They're just going to raise prices. It's inflationary. Like everything else she's done under and Biden have done in the last 3.5 years, it's inflationary. It's dumb.
Yeah. Oh, not only that, but it makes us totally uncompetitive.
That too.
They want factories that are currently located overseas or that currently don't exist. They want to build factories here, they say. So they're going to make the tax rate over here outrageous, and people are going to go back to places like Hong Kong and Singapore and Ireland is the best one. Really, Ireland has such a low rate that the European Union made them assess an extra tax on Apple, and they didn't want it.
Yeah.
Come on, people. It's just so out of hand. All right, that $10,000 over that amount of time would be $427,600. And if that doesn't convince you to be very, very careful about your political leanings and your already invested assets, I don't know what would. But let's not be dumb about preparing for A or B on this election, because it isn't over. And I'll be talking a lot more about that in the next few weeks, I'm sure. All right, well, it's been a lot of fun as usual. Stack of paper never seems to get any smaller, so I guess I'll have to be back here next week at the same time. I hope you're with me at the same time. Take care. We'll see you then. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.